Welcome to Aspire and your Sunday morning. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday, September 11th, 2011, and I am very grateful to be with you as we take a look at some very interesting questions that, well, people have many different viewpoints. And today I have, and I always say it's Sunday for the Dilly Whoppers, I've got some really great questions. And these were sent to me by people who listen to Aspire here on KRXA, and also for those who have watched me down in San Diego on Channel 4, and now on YouTube exclusively. You can go to YouTube and see my television programs if you like. If you go to the website at aspire.org, go to the bottom of the page there, you will see YouTube, and just click on that, and we have our own station there now, and we're going to be making new programs and converting old ones. You'll get to see all of the Aspire programs that I've ever done since 1984. My golly, can you believe that, how time flies, eh? Get to see me grow old and all the other wonderful things that happen in the course of a human being's lifetime. And it's very, very interesting. So I hope you'll take the time to go take a look. My website is aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org. I want to mention I'll be down in Encinitas on Saturday, September the 17th, for a workshop. I'm going to be presenting two beautiful new meditations at that time, as well as some ambient music. And I hope that you will go to the website at aspire.org. Go take a look around and take a look at events. And if you pull down the little events button there, you will see a table of contents that says Workshop Encinitas. Just click on that. And if you're interested, I'd be honored to have you join us. The two new Tibetan pulsing meditations are very, very simple to do, very effective, getting us ready for our Mount Madonna retreat coming up in November. We're going to be working on the intrinsic goodness of our heart, and I'm honored to be able to do this with my students. I really am getting ready for, again, next year, as we lay the groundwork for a deeper awareness of what it means to live in karma, which most people think they know everything about, but really don't. They just think they do. Karma is a theory most people have, and a belief, and it is really not gotten any deeper than that. And I'm going to offer to you something really significant for the year of 2012. You're not going to be able to just get it with your mind. You're going to have to be prepared through consciousness to understand a much deeper experience that karma really is about. You and I are wrapped up in it whether we believe it or not. We are involved in it whether you like it or not. And what I'm going to offer to you is not doom and gloom, but love, compassion, and freedom. And that's what karma represents. Well, next year. Okay, let's get into the first question by Sam. He lives in San Diego. I have no need, he tells me here, to meditate. I have my own way of doing it. So my question to you is, what should I do next? Since I already meditate, what's left to do? Sam. Well, Sam, you sound like so many people I know who think they are meditating. In fact, they're sure of it. Their minds have absolutely come to the absolute place where they know. I hear this all the time. I call it absolute thinking, absolute mind, and that's where most people dwell, live, move, and have their being in. And it is very, very difficult to move anyone away from all of that. It just is very difficult. And to do so typically means that you would have to give up everything you believe in. So you tell me, you say, I have no need to meditate. I have my own way of doing it. You know, Sam, what I have found, and this is my experience, and my experience over the years with my students who I've been working with, had that honor, that if a person is truly meditating, they don't write an email like this. They just don't do it. They're so, shall we say, immersed in the practice of meditation that there is no need to ask what is next. In an authentic spiritual practice, Sam, one that is derived out of sincere ability to practice meditation, not as one likes or believes in, but as meditation really is, it involves a person to such a degree that everything in their life begins to be questioned. Everything they're doing, everything they believe in, everything that's going on in their life, in their world, in their living, starts to become questionable. We start looking at things from a different point of view. Now, to get to that place is by living the meditation and being authentic in it, to take it out of the realm of where you practice meditation and into the life experiences you are having and how you deal with people, objects, things, everything. Everything is about a certain form of meditation. But to get there, to be able to do that, you have to be living in it. Your meditation has to be something living. I don't get that from you here. I get that you're kind of on autopilot. You think, I do this, I do that, and then this and that. Now what's next? Like you've accomplished something. Meditation is not an accomplishment. It is not something you do and then you conquer it, as it were, or you do it well, and now what's next to do? As if you're, you know, climbing a mountain and you got to the top and you ask, is there a higher one? Is there a better one? Is there something more? I guess I've done it all. It doesn't work like that at all. When meditation can become a lifestyle, that is a very beautiful thing. And that means that something extremely significant has happened within your life experience. So I would say to you, hey, dude, make it a life experience. You say you have your own meditation. I don't know what that means. Does that mean you just do it when you feel like it, or you do it in a certain way that is comfortable to you? People always want to be comfortable. It's all about comfort and convenience. And real meditation in an authentic spiritual practice is very inconvenient and at times very uncomfortable. So I'm not really sure what you mean by this. If you're doing your meditation to be comfortable and secure, if you're doing it when you feel like it, or you do it to make you believe that you have achieved something, it's serving your needs, your desires, your ambition, your pride, then it's not real meditation. My meditations have caused me to be very uncomfortable with myself at times. It's caused me to feel very sad at times, and at other times very blissful. There are many realms you go through when you meditate. We don't meditate just to be perfect or have our life the way we want to have our life. But who can talk people out of that? Everything in this country has to be quick, easy, and convenient. What should you do next, you ask me? Go get a real meditation. Get involved in a real meditation practice. Let yourself go through being confused and worried and doubtful about who and what and where and when and how. Just let it go. Let everything go and go into an authentic practice and give up your way. But I doubt, by the strength of your email here and the seeming strength that I hear in the background of your conviction, that that will ever happen in this life. But be ye aware. A spiritual practice challenges every aspect of my life. It forces me into a posture and into a position to truly see the way I live and what I've done to myself. And that is not something that most people want to do. They want something to relieve their pain and their sorrow. Kind of the Oprah way. And if that's your deal, dude, that's your deal. I can't, you know, help you. But I have given you my answer, and hopefully that will maybe plant a seed deep inside of you somewhere. Meditation isn't your own way. It is the only way. Please forgive me. Namaste. I get tons of emails like this in the course of a month. People think they know. They read a few books or they watch Oprah or whatever, and then they think they got it. And it is so not so. My students are rolling right now laughing if they're listening to this. They know what they've been through through their practice and their meditations and how humbling it can be. And it is a humbling experience to find out that, well, you're not maybe what you thought you were. And that is a very humbling experience, but very necessary in the process of a human being's life if they're going to mature and grow. And then people will say, well, why should I do that? And if you have to ask that question, then it's not time to do that. I'm very sad, says Anne from Claremont, California, who listens to us via the website at aspire.org. If I'm honest, I can see that I have always been this way. I've always had sadness. Why have I always been this way, Anne? And this is a particularly interesting question to me. I kind of relate to it because when I was little, I incarnated into this life, and I too felt a certain sadness about this place that we are in. When I was young, really young, I thought I could ignore all of that sadness by, you know, doing things that were creative and fun. When I was a kid, I did puppet shows and made haunted houses out of the garage. You ever do that, you know? We did all sorts of creative things, build forts and, you know, play baseball and football. But as you get a little older and that sadness doesn't go away and you start looking at your parents and you start realizing, geez, this is what you turn into. You start to feel even sadder about your life. At least I did as I was growing up in the 60s, and I'm a 60s child through and through. And although I never did the drugs and all the other stuff that people think are so clever, witty, and funny, you start to really understand there is something you've brought with you through this life. And the many lives that you've probably had, and you feel that sorrow and that sadness, and it's probably because something beautiful. Now get me on this, and listen to me. Something beautiful is trying to happen to you. That beauty that's trying to happen is being held back by the person named Anne. And you're going to have to persevere through Anne to get to the core of your sadness, which is really your beauty trying to come out. And instead of persecuting yourself for all of that, you start looking inside yourself for all of the beauty that lives in you. The intrinsic goodness of your entire life is there. Sorrow is just, in your case, what is going on as a precursor to your beauty. When people are trying to cover up their sorrow, they don't really realize that they're covering up their beauty. A person's beauty has nothing to do with how they look, what they say, what their philosophy is, or any of that other stuff. Your beauty is inconsequential to your humanity. It's inexplicable to your logic and reasoning. And if I ignore how beautiful I am in the depth of my core, then I'm going to feel a deep sadness. It is the root of everything in all of us, this thing called beauty, because it's the highest truth we will ever know. I have students who fight with it, argue with it, condemn it, try to believe that it doesn't exist. I have students who try to work with it, understand it, let it come through them. I have all sorts of different people who struggle with their beauty in all sorts of funky ways, none of which really bring about a great deal of joy and happiness. So listen to me, Anne, and listen well. If you were to get involved in your meditation, if you were to let Anne step aside and begin the process of awakening, you would find that this thing that you might think of as a curse is really a blessing, and that it is not there to hurt you, to harm you, to make you miserable. It is there to help you understand the very nature of your life as love. Work upon yourself. Meditate. I have all sorts of meditations to bring up sorrow. One of them is Energy Momentum 1, a cathartic meditation. I've got heavy breathers there, you know, for the industrial strength anger. Go to the website. Take a look in the catalog. Look at meditations, catharsis. Look, you need to get the facade of Anne opened up. And then eventually you can put her aside and live independently of her. Do you know that? That is the real beauty of a person's life, to live independent from their enamored human side. We don't think in terms of that. We think of ourselves as just being human. And that's why we have all of the political, social, terrible troubles that we have in this world, because we refuse to acknowledge the beauty that lives within us. And because we refuse to acknowledge it, we miss entirely the meaning of our life and what it means to have kindness and love in our life, to forgive, to release, to let go, to want nothing with all of your heart. These are the teachings of the Buddha. These are the teachings of the way. You can find them in the work of Jesus. You can find them in the beauty of Krishna, the love that was Lao Tzu. You can find it in all great teachings. But listen to me. Follow your sadness. Don't try to cover it up. Follow it down into your life. Find out what it's really all about. There is a message in it, and it's really a simple one. Let love live you. The rest just don't matter. If you get that, if you can be with that, if you can flow with that, you will find great wisdom in everything you do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And that was such a powerful and beautiful question, and I am deeply and significantly grateful for your question. Most people would never ask that. Never. Last question. Mike from San Diego. I've got my own philosophy, as do you. Why should I even listen to you, Mike? Well, you shouldn't, Mike. What the heck? Why are you listening to me? Why did you write this email? Why did you take the time to even respond? I guess to the TV program. I don't know. And you must listen to the radio program because you talk about it. Mike, listen to me. I'm not here to teach you a philosophy. I am not interested in philosophy. Philosophy means nothing to me. And what I am giving you here is no philosophy. I am not giving you pie in the sky, telling you if you do this, you do that, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to have a better life. You might have a much more difficult life than you ever imagined. Maybe you're working out karma. I don't know. It's not for me to say. All I can say is I offer to you and the public a method that will reveal to you what's going on within you. Now, if you can live in that method and you can flow with it and you can be within it, then something significant is going to happen to you. What that will be, I do not know. But I will tell you this, it is not a philosophy. Don't listen to me. Ignore me. I don't think you can. There is some part of you that can't ignore me. There's some part of you that can only listen to me. And that part of you is something that you might need to be very aware of. You wrote this email looking for help, not slapping me around. You're looking for something beyond your mind. You're looking for something within your heart. You're looking for it. It is not a philosophy. Philosophy is where we take the infinite, the beautiful, and we make a story out of it. And it shouldn't be a story. There are some things in life, Mike, that just must be there as a direct experience. If I don't find that direct experience, if I'm not aware of it, if I'm not interested in it, then I have nothing meaningful in my life at all. Nothing. Philosophy is just sing-song to the mind. It takes something immensely beautiful, like the Beatitudes that Jesus offered, and it makes a philosophy out of them, or the teachings of Buddha, and makes a story out of them. Where is the good in that? Where is the beauty in that? Where do I find help? You don't need another philosophy. You probably have too many as it is. None of us need a philosophy. What we need? Love, sweet love. Marianne Faithfull was right. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now, I was Jackie DeShannon, wasn't it? Excuse me. Jackie DeShannon was right. And you need to maybe give up this idea that I'm here to give you philosophy. People always put me in categories. They say, you're doing this, you're saying that. Am I really? Maybe it's you who's doing this and saying that. I find projection very, very easy on someone like me. I'm an easy target for it because you're sitting there in the comfort of your home while I'm here trying to explain something to you that really can't be explained through comfort and security. You have to take a risk. And real inner work is a risk. What are you risking? Comfort, security, as you think you know it. You're risking belief. You're risking your own fear for the sake of love. And that is very difficult for so many of us in this lifetime. We're so worried that we're going to be duped. We don't know what's right. Who's doing the right thing? Who's got the right philosophy? Is it the one who, as one of my students would say, is more well-published? Should we believe them? Can a million people be wrong? Well, yeah, they can be. Maybe the only one that is truly correct is the one pointing the way, and not saying that that is correct at all, but just simply points the way. I'd like to think that you heard me. I'd like to think that, but I know you don't. There is nothing I can say to help you until you are ready to drop the idea that anything I am teaching you here has anything to do with philosophy. It is not philosophy and religion that I am teaching here. I am offering to you a direct path, a direct experience to love. If you start to practice this and you don't get in the way, you'll find it serves you very well. But if you need to get in the way and you can't practice it, then it will become a mere philosophy. I've seen marriages become philosophies. I've seen people with children become philosophies. I have seen many beautiful things reduced to philosophy. And it is sad. We live in an artificial lifetime, in an artificial world due to our own mind. Life is vibrant. It is beautiful. Don't let that happen to you. Please, please forgive me. Thank you, Mike. Namaste. If you have a comment or question, something, I might be able to be of service to you. And come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And if you go to the main page, you will see contact up in the upper right-hand corner. Just click on it and send me an email. And if you don't want me to use your name or anything, I won't. I truly won't. But if you have a comment or a question that you think might help someone, I'm into it. I really am. Your support. Oh, golly. Here we are in the fall, and we always are looking for people who will help sustain this radio program through your tax-deductible gifts. Your donations are tax-deductible, but more importantly, they help humankind in so many ways. I have a beautiful offering for you for my year end, and it's an invitation and a gift all at the same time. It is my year-end DVD with a very special Sufi story that I like very much about, well, the Holy Shadow. And it's a wonderful little story that I will share with you that will play on your computer and your TV, your DVD player, and it will inform you about how to be a sponsor and how to help us keep this radio program on the air, and also to keep our television program on YouTube. I hope that you will listen, watch, and if you don't have a copy of this DVD, the year end, and would like one, that you come to the website at aspire.org. You will see a little banner there that will show, and you can sign up. Have a wonderful weekend, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.